please turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're almost concluding with this book, not quite, but we're getting very close. And I'm enjoying studying through books of the Bible together. And this has been a real challenge to my heart. All of this is new to me, preaching through books, chapter after chapter, verse after verse. And I'm enjoying myself, I'll be honest with you. And we've come to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 13. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 13. The Word of God says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. And thou keep his commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now, if you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase in verse number 13. It's the first four words, and that's the title of my message tonight, I give thee charge. I give thee charge. Now, let's pray together, and we'll share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for this privilege of opening the Word of God again and just preaching what you've already said. Thank you that our authority is set. It is secure, Lord, and Father, it is inspired, infallible, and inerrant. Just help us to be faithful preaching your word and ministering to these dear folks, Father. Thank you for speaking to me during my study. And I pray that you'll convey through me what you've given to me, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've come to verses 13 to 16, this glorious book of instructions for the man of God. I mean, this is a glorious book. And we've come to these four verses here. And the Apostle Paul is being used of God to teach young Timothy some invaluable lessons concerning the ministry and life in general. Now, he's just finished telling him how a man of God, as a man of God, he's to flee some things. This was our last message, last Wednesday night, such as the love of money. He's also to follow after righteousness and faith and love and patience and meekness. Along with this, he was to fight the good fight of faith. Now the Apostle Paul begins to give Timothy a charge or a command, if you will, to keep. Now, it's this charge that we want to look at together tonight. Now, as I studied this passage of Scripture, there are three things that come out for our attention. Now, before we look at these three aspects in this charge, it's necessary that we look at the charge that Paul is speaking. In other words, what is this charge that he's giving to this young preacher by the name of Timothy? Now, there are some people who disagree as to what this charge really is. Some believe he's talking about the immediate context of fleeing, following, and fighting, while others believe it's the entire letter that was written to him. However, now listen to me, I believe it's important that we understand that we do not need to narrow this down. Let me tell you why. Because these three principles that are brought out in this sermon applies to all of the charges of Scripture. In other words, this is a command that's in the Bible. Whatever command Paul is speaking of here, we know it's a command of Scripture, which means that these same three things that he's getting ready to bring out about this charge is true about any command of Scripture. That's why I'm not going to hang somebody for saying that they believe it's the immediate context, or they believe it's the whole book, or they believe it's love, or whatever the case may be. To be honest with you, folks, that's not the meaning of this passage. The meaning of this passage is he's talking about this charge, but then there's three major principles to consider about this charge that's given, and I want you to apply it to any charge that God has given you. There are commands that God gives. That's another word for the word charge. I give thee command. I give thee charge. That's what it is. Think about the commands of God and everything he's told us to do in his word tonight. That's the message. I give thee charge. But as we look at this together, there's three principles that apply in this message. I give thee charge, number one. I give thee charge, first of all, with motivation. Now we see this in verse number 13. I want you to look at it. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession.
Now, in this verse, Paul summons, if you will, two great witnesses to hear the words of this charge that was given to Timothy. In other words, Paul reminds Timothy of something, and this is what he reminds him of. There are some great witnesses who were watching him and were aware of whether he was keeping the charge that was given to him. These witnesses are God, who quickeneth all things, and Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Now, I want to look at these two together here, separately, but together under the motivation. First of all, let's notice God. Now, what's he talking about here? Paul reminded Timothy that God, now get this, who makes all things, was a witness to this charge that he was given to him. In other words, the one who has given life and the one who sustains life was watching him the whole time. The one who made something out of nothing was beholding him. The one who made him and kept him alive was aware of his dealings. Now, folks, this is a powerful thought here, that the Apostle Paul is saying, I give thee charge, Timothy, but I give it to you in the sight of God. Now, that tells me that God is witnessing everything we do with the charges that he gives us. Then he goes on to say, in Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Now, Paul also reminded Timothy here that he was in the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, in this, he starts to say something about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, this is Christ Jesus, who made a good confession before Pontius Pilate. Now, what's he talking about? Hold your place here. Turn back to the book of John with me just a moment. Hold your place right here in 1 Timothy. Turn back to the book of John, chapter 18. Let's look at this confession. What is it that Paul's bringing? What is this good confession? Now, Paul is saying something here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, look at John, chapter 18, verse 33. Now, the Lord is standing before Pilate here in context. In verse 33, he says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus, and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. By the way, side note, not in my notes, but as I'm reading my Bible, and I've noticed this, do you remember how the Lord kept his mouth shut as a lamb before the slaughter? Remember that story? But every time they asked him if he was the Messiah, he always answered. Let me tell you why. He cannot deny himself. And that's just a side note here. Look at verse number 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now look at chapter 19, verse 7. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Now they're speaking to Pilate. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus, I love this. Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Now in this, if you'll flip back to the book of 1 Timothy and wait on me there, in this we have seen the confession that Paul is speaking about before Pontius Pilate. Now get this, the one who has all power and is the king and is the truth has his eye on Timothy. Now here's what's going on. I'm talking about in his confession, he witnessed that he has all power. He is a king. He witnessed that he is the truth. He was born under the truth. He was witnessing under the truth. He gave a good confession that what he was about was the truth. Thirdly, he witnessed that he is the king. Now, let me tell you something, folks. That's a good confession. The Lord Jesus Christ has all power. The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm talking about, is the truth, and he confessed that before Pontius Pilate, and the Word of God says, oh, by the way, what he said to Pontius Pilate, that was a good report he gave. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Here's the major point I'm trying to get across here when we say, I give thee charge with motivation. In all of this, we see the sobering truth that a child of God is being watched by God. This truth should encourage us and motivate us, there it is, to live according to the commands that he has given us. The bottom line is we need to be living in the conscious presence of God. Let me ask you a question. Did you live your life with God in mind today? Did you live your life realizing God sees me, God knows all about me, he knows every thought I'm having, he hears every word I speak. God is watching his children. That is a motivation. And that is a motivation to live according to the charges that he's given us. We need to realize that everything we do or do not do is in his holy presence. Now, folks, that's a powerful thought right there. And that should motivate us to live according to what pleases him instead of what pleases ourselves. Now, too many times we live in accordance with what we want. Now, am I right or wrong? I'm right. And what I'm saying to you, let me tell you the reason why we go our own way so often. Because we do not live, point number one. We are not living in the conscious presence of Almighty God. If you really knew and you really believe that God is seeing everything you do, hearing everything you say, knowing everything you're thinking, I'm talking about he's going where you're going, he's watching you. God, Christ Jesus, they have their eyes on you, they're watching you. That is the greatest motivation in life, that the Lord Jesus Christ is with me and he's watching me. And he knows what I'm doing if nobody else does. And what that should do is motivate us that whatever he tells us to do, we're going to do it. Why? Because he's with us and he knows all about it. That's a motivation. Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I give thee charge, Timothy, first of all with motivation. But secondly, I give thee charge with instruction. And we see this in verse 14, look at it, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in this verse we see Paul giving some instruction on what Timothy was to do with this particular charge. Now let's look at these things together. There's four things, four instructions that he gives on what he's to do with this charge. He's first of all to keep it. Look at it, he says, keep this charge. You know what this word keep means? It means guard it. It means guard it from loss or injury by keeping one's eye on it. That's all in that word keep. That's a powerful word right there. He's saying, what I'm commanding you to do, I want you to do it by keeping your eyes on it and make sure it's not injured, make sure it doesn't suffer loss, so you can pass it down to the next generation. Now that's powerful. He's saying, keep this commandment. He was to make sure, right here, he was to make sure that he was living in accordance to this charge. He was not to take this command lightly. This was God's will for his life. And he was to keep it with all of his heart. Secondly, he was to keep it without spot. We see this in verse 14. And thou keep this commandment without spot. You know what that means? It means he wasn't to add anything to it, take anything from it, or change anything in it. That's what it meant. He wasn't to add to it, take away from it, or change anything about it. He was to make sure that he kept that charge as it was given to him. Now you have people all over the world trying to change the Word of God, trying to change it to agree with their particular belief or their particular doctrine. And God says, I've given you my charge, right here it is, don't mess with it. Keep it without spot. Don't add to it, don't take away from it, don't change a thing about it. You just do what it says. And this is so simple, it's ridiculous. But this whole message is about whatever God tells you to do, do it. Why? Motivation, he's watching us. instruction, keep it, guard it, without spot. Then he goes a third thing, unrebukable. That word unrebukable here means he was to live in such a way that his character did not say something contrary to the command. Now, boy, that's a powerful thought right about it. Listen, are you awake tonight? I mean, this is Wednesday night. Sometimes this service is as dead as 4 o'clock. And I'm going to tell you one thing tonight. I'm saying this to us, that God wants us to know what the command is, and he wants us to live in such a way that our conduct does not contradict what the command really is. He wants you to know it. He wants you to live it. That's what he's talking about right here. This is powerful stuff, folks. Now, I'm talking about this is just verse by verse here, but this is powerful stuff. God says, I have given you this charge. I've given you this command. You keep it. You guard it. You keep it without spot. You don't change it. You don't add to it. You don't take away from it. And you keep it unrebukable. You make sure your life backs up your words. And you make sure your life is living in accordance with what this command really is. Then he gives possibly one of the greatest instructions here. He says, I want you to do these things, number 4, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now in this, he's encouraging Timothy that he's to keep this charge until he sees the Lord face to face. Now in other words, he is calling on Timothy to be faithful until the Lord comes in the clouds. Now this, folks, listen, I'm convicted here. The Lord got all over me in this message when I was studying on it. And that was today. I was talking about yesterday and today. And today when I was typing this out, good night, the Lord's getting on me. That the Lord's coming back. And he's watching me. He knows everything about me. That's a great motivation. The instruction is, keep what I've given you, Timothy. Keep it. Guard it. Keep your eyes on it. Don't neglect it. Keep your eyes on it. Guard it. Without spot. You make sure you don't change it, you don't add to it, you don't take away from it. It's already perfect. Keep it without spot. And you make sure you do it unrebukable. You make sure your life is not contradicting the commands. You make sure your life is living in accordance to the Word of God. And by the way, here's how long you should do it, Timothy, until you see the Lord coming in the clouds. I want to ask you a question. Are you in it for the long haul? Are you just in it as long as it's an easy road? Not Timothy. Not Paul. Paul's saying when the going gets tough, keep your eyes on the sky. The Lord is coming back. He's watching you anyway. And you just keep on keeping. You just keep on keeping it without rebuke, right here without spot. And you keep on living an unrebukable life. And you keep on doing it until you see him split the eastern sky. This sounds like a daddy talking to his boy, doesn't it? It really does. Simple. Timothy, live by this charge. Obey this command. And do it with all your heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. I read right here, there's an English sailor. And an English sailor back in his day would have joined the fleet making solemn promises of laying down his life in the service of the king and country. But Admiral Nelson was not satisfied with those old promises on the morning of a certain battle. In this particular battle, they were outnumbered. The British crews were preparing themselves for a day of life and death struggle. The possibility of death by cannon, musket fire, hand-to-hand combat, drowning lay before them that day. But there was one more final exhortation from that beloved admiral before the cannons began to fire. He sent a signal up, which was read by all the cheering men as they stood on the decks of their boats, and here's what his signal said. England expects every man this day to do his duty. That's all it said. You know what Nelson was charging them to do? What they promised they would do when they signed up. You know, in the same way, that's exactly what Paul's telling Timothy. Paul's saying, Timothy, you're in the ministry. You've made some promises. Now keep them. Anybody not understand that? Is that too deep for anybody? He's saying, what you promised that you're going to do, do it.
And the charge that you're getting from headquarters, you keep it. You keep your eyes on it. You keep it without spot. You keep it unrebukable. You keep it until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, who's watching you all along the way anyway, Timothy? I give thee charge with motivation.
I give thee charge with instruction. But number three, I give thee charge with exaltation. You say, what's that mean? Paul begins to exalt something here. It's like he can't help himself. You're getting ready to see a little bit of the heart of Paul here. Now, what has he just said? Now, let's go back and read this. Look at verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. And thou keep this commandment without spot or rebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in times past he shall show who is the blessed only potentate, King of kings, Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Now, I don't know if you see what I just saw and what I just read here. But in these two verses, verses 15 and 16, we see Paul breaking out into praise. He can't help himself. He begins to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. It is as if here that when he was speaking to Timothy about keeping the charge, and when those words came out of his mouth, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he immediately began to think about the Lord. And he couldn't help but glorify and exalt him for who he is. In this we see a man who is truly devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a glimpse of who he was, and we need the same glimpse of Jesus Christ tonight. We need to see what Paul saw. And I'm saying that in this charge, he gave motivation, he gave instruction, but he gave exaltation. He is lifting up Jesus Christ. He's saying, Timothy, listen, they're watching you. He is coming, and by the way, he's worthy for you to do this. That's what he's saying right here. Now let's look at this together. Look at these things. He said, first of all, he is the blessed and only potentate. Now, potentate's a big word. But all it means is that he is the only ruler, he's the only officer, and he's the only one of great authority. That's what that word means. In other words, there is no one greater in authority than God, Jesus Christ. All other so-called rulers are not to be compared to him, Timothy. He truly is the only ruler. That's what he's saying. Matthew 28, 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's saying, listen, I'm going to exalt him just a minute. I'm telling you, he's watching you, and I'm telling you, he's coming again. Well, let me just tell you a little bit more about him. He's the only ruler in this world. He's the only one. He's the only one who really has authority. He's the only one that really is the officer. He is in charge, Timothy. That ought to thrill your soul tonight. Secondly, amen, it'll thrill my soul. Praise God. Secondly, he says he's King of kings in verse number 15. While some earthly kings may have dominion over a certain part of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ has dominion over everything that you see and everything you don't see while we're at it. Psalm 10:16, the Lord is king forever and ever. Luke 1:31-33, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. What a God we serve. What a Christ we know. And if he saved you, you ought to shout the victory. He's saying he's the blessed and only potentate. He's the King of kings. Thirdly, he's the Lord of lords. This means that the Lord Jesus is supreme in authority and controls it all. All leaders of the world are subject unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It may not look like it. It may not act like it. It may not seem like it. But every one of the so-called leaders in this world are subject unto the Lord of lords. And it's Jesus Christ. Revelation 17:14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Does that include you? Amen. Revelation 19:16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. All capital letters, King of kings and Lord of lords. Paul's praising God here. He's praising the Lord's what he's doing. It's as if he's just giving these instructions and said, oh, by the way, keep this until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then his mind, his heart started jumping, saying, oh, he is coming. We're talking about the Lord of Lords. We're talking about the King of Kings. We're talking about the blessed and only potentate. Then he goes on to say in verse 16, who only hath immortality. You know what that means? That means he's the only one that's not subject to death. That's what that word means. Now, in other words, he is self-sustaining. These are powerful words. Powerful words. Let these sink in just a moment. You are not self-sustaining. You cannot keep yourself alive. You say, Jody, what about those carrot sticks you eat? About those celery sticks you eat? Well, yes, but see, the La Carreta burrito just kind of offsets all of that. You see what I'm saying? But no matter how hard you try, you cannot make your heart beat. You can't do that. That's you are not capable of doing that. You cannot sustain your life. And like it or not, I know it's not great news, but like it or not, you will die if Jesus does not come back first. But the Lord Jesus Christ depends on nobody for life. Now let this sink in just a moment. This is what this word means. He doesn't depend on anybody or anything for life. He is life, and he is not subject unto death. You know what Paul's saying? He has no creator. That's what he's saying in that word. Who only hath immortality. He's calling him God here. He's saying this Lord Jesus, he is God. He only has immortality. Death can't touch him. However, I know what you're thinking. It did touch him, didn't it? Now, think with me just a minute. The great thing about this truth that he only has immortality is that even though he was not subject to death, he submitted himself unto it. And he did it so you and I can go to heaven when we die. Praise God. That's wonderful right there, folks. I mean, think about this. Hey, God, Jesus Christ, death had no power over him. Death had no power over him at all. He proved that in the New Testament. Nobody stayed dead in his presence. Read it yourself. The raising of the widow's son, Lazarus. On and on you can go. Death had no power over him. He wasn't subject to death. He was the one and only who had immortality. He's God. But yet, even though he was not subject to it, he willingly submitted to it. So when you and I don't have to dread it. Now, folks, that's enough to shout about right there, honestly. John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. He can't say that about you. You don't have life in yourself. You have it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. But the only reason you're not going to die spiritually is because he's given you immortality. Not that you had it. He is immortality. You understand the difference? He is immortality. It's not possible. He's not subject to death. And he's made us not to be subject to spiritual death. Because he lives in our heart. Why wouldn't you want to serve him, folks? Why would I not want to serve a God like that? Then he goes on. He's not through praising him yet. He's got three more things to go through. He says, oh, by the way, he's dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto. Look at verse 16. In other words, the light where he dwells is so dazzling that no one could approach unto it. It's just as these eyes cannot look directly upon the sun for long periods of time. Are you listening? That is so far away. These eyes could never approach under the light of the glory of God who created the sun in the first place. He's saying, get a fresh glimpse of him, Timothy. I'm seeing the Lord high and lifted up. He's dwelling in the light that no man can come unto. He's talking about your flesh. 1 John 1:5, this is the message which we've heard of him and declare unto you that God is light.
And in him is no darkness at all. He keeps on praising. Verse 16, he says, oh, by the way, whom no man has seen. No man has seen God on full display in all of his glory. No man. No flesh. You understand what I'm saying? It's not possible in this body. In this body, it's impossible to see the full display of God's glory. It's impossible. John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. 1 John 4:12, no man has seen God at any time. But you know the great thing about this? The great thing about this is that we who are God's children, even though we've never seen him in all of his glory, there is coming a day when we will see him in all of his glory because of what he's done for us. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let that sink in a minute. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's a sermon title right there, as he is. Don't you want to see the Lord as he is? Aren't you excited about seeing the Lord as he is? Right now, as he is. Dwelling in the light that no man can approach unto. The one who was not subject to death laid his life down for you, and he has those blessed scars in his hands and his feet, and all in his Shekinah glory, one day, good night, this makes my heart jump. One day we're going to look at him because he saved us and he's changed us. And one day he's going to glorify us. I'm going to tell you something. This, reading this and listening to this, makes me ashamed of how much time I've wasted on myself. We are puny nothings. Do you know that? You say, Jody, prove it. Fly in an airplane, look down and see if you can see anybody walking around. Can't even see the houses, much less people. And yet we as human beings, every now and then, we know God wants us to do that, but we don't do it. We know he's Lord of Lords, King of Kings. We know it here, but we really don't believe it here. Because if we did, it'd change the way we live. Amen. You know I'm telling you the truth. I'm talking about myself here, folks. Just letting you listen in on it. Revelation 22:4, and they shall see his face. Think about that, folks. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. He's exalting the Lord here. He goes on, and he says something else. By the way, to whom be honor and power everlasting. He has everlasting value and dominion. That's what honor and power means. He has everlasting value, honor, value. He has everlasting dominion, power, control. He is God, and he always will be, is what Paul's saying. And there's no one or nothing that will strip him of his authority or strip him of his value. Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Jude 25, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And let me conclude this message. I've enjoyed this message. This message has helped me. I don't know if it's helped you, but it's helped me. And in a nutshell, Paul is giving this young preacher Timothy a charge. And in these verses, in this charge, we have seen how he gave it with motivation. Timothy, as you think about this charge, and as we think about the charges of God in his word, the commands. That's what charge means. I give thee this command. As you think about the commands, he gave a motivation that God and Christ Jesus are watching you, young man. In that he gave him instruction. He said, I want you in this life, I want you to look at this charge, and I want you to keep it.
I want you to guard it. Keep your eyes upon it. I want you to keep it without spot. Don't change it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Keep it unrebukable. Make sure your life backs up your words. And by the way, keep it until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't quit, Timothy. You keep doing the right thing. You keep reading your Bible. You keep praying. You keep being a soul winner. You keep attending church. You keep on doing, keeping these charges until you see him face to face. Oh, and by the way, since I'm talking about him appearing, let me just tell you just a little bit about him. He's the only potentate, Timothy. He's the only ruler. He's the only one with great authority. He's the only officer. He's the King of Kings. There's no other king beside him. He's the Lord of Lords. He is not subject to death, but by the way, he made himself subject to death for your sake. Timothy, he's dwelling in the light that no man can approach to right now. You haven't seen God in all of his glory. But I'm going to tell you one thing about him. He's got honor and glory for all eternity. And it's going to be worth it when you see him face to face. You know, in the same way, we all need to see the importance of living in accordance to the Word of God in our lives. Just as Timothy was given a charge, we have also been given charges in the Word of God. And may we strive to keep these charges with these same things in mind. God is watching us. Keep them without spot, unrebukable, and don't quit until the Lord splits the eastern sky. And remember just how precious and glorious the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is truly worthy for us to say yes to anything he tells us to do. That's the message of 1 Timothy 13, chapter 6, verses 13 to 16. Powerful message. Not because I preached it, but it's what the Word of God's teaching. And may God drive it on our hearts. Amen. Honestly, let's keep this charge. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this and use it in a mighty way. Help us, I pray. Father, I thank you for being able to preach through books like this. What a powerful thought that you've given us tonight. This is not me, this is you completely. We give you all the glory, all the praise. May thy will be done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. She's playing through softly. Let me just ask you these questions. Maybe the Lord's dealing with it. I wonder, will you see the Lord in all of his glory someday? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? If there's one among us that does not know the Lord and you say, Jody, well, I'd sure love to see him in all of that glorified body. I'd love to see him in all that glory and all that light. I'd love to see him face to face. But I can't say I will because I'm not sure I'm a Christian. If that's you, there's time for you tonight. Won't you come and let us take a Bible and help you? I wonder, Christian, is there a charge in the Word of God that you're not keeping? Are you being faithful until the Lord comes back? Or are you tempted to quit in some areas because it's getting tough, it's getting rough? Do you need a fresh glimpse of the Lord in your life? And I wonder, are you truly living in the reality that God is watching you? Because he is watching. Are you living in the presence of God? Maybe God is dealing with you. And as I pray, as soon as I say amen, our heads are going to remain bowed and eyes are going to remain closed. But if God is speaking to you, I want to invite you to leave your place and come pray. Ask the Lord to help you. Father, help us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. She's playing through softly. If somebody feels like they need to come to the altar, right now is your time. Why don't you come? Why don't you come right now? Let's sing this together. Not that song. You just kind of follow me if you know it. Let's sing. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, Brother Gary. Just yes. Let's sing it together. Look. Think about it. Gross rain. In the light of his glory and grace,
You want to look this way. The secret to life is live it in the conscious presence of Jesus Christ. He's with you everywhere you go. Do you understand that? You cannot get away from Him. That ought to encourage us, but at the same time, it ought to challenge us to say, I need to be obeying Him because He knows when I'm not. May the Lord help us with this. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss all the bus workers. If you don't mind, you can be dismissed to the bus meeting. I'll be there in just a moment. Let's all stand together, please. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you for being here tonight. Please try to bring somebody with you on Sunday, and let's have a great Lord's Day on this coming Sunday, okay? Brother Scott Martin, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us, please.